Okay.
We're recording now. Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight we've got Joshua, Brian, and Matthew, and Ian, of course. I'm the guy that runs the show on this thing. And tonight we're going to talk about episode one of AMC's original zombie television series, directed and written by Frank Darabont, based on the graphic novel. Well, I guess it's a comic book series. I like to say comic book. Everyone gets all pretentious about graphic novel. No, I haven't. Zach's read some of it and says that it's just kind of boring, and we'll see. The Walking Dead. We're probably a little behind all the rest of the internet on this, but you know what? We do things at our own pace here at the Futile Podcast, and that's just the way we do things. So, episode one of The Walking Dead is an hour and 6 minutes. That's a TV hour and a half, 66 minutes. Aired on Halloween originally. They made a big deal of it, and you know, I think all the zombie nerd freaks that are just everything zombie is always awesome, pretty much like are loving it and are loving the idea of it. My bigger thing with, I guess, what could be the zombie subgenre of monster or horror or suspense movies is I'm always slightly more interested in the sort of subgenre of that, which is the sort of last man on earth scenario. I mean, there are a couple of movies that are proper last man on earth, a couple of stories like that. One is The Quiet Earth, which is a movie made in, like, New Zealand, which is kind of a sci-fi interesting take where, quite literally, it's one dude for, like, the first, like, hour, and then a couple of other people. There's always other people, because it just doesn't quite work to just be one person. But almost everything else ends up being some kind of disease and some kind of zombie, because you need, like, this conflicting force. I Am Legend does that, obviously 28 Days Later, and everything. And that's essentially what the modern zombie movie is. I guess that's what zombie movies kind of always have been, is inexplicably the dead come alive and they become a problem and people get killed and then they become part of that problem too. So everyone knows what a zombie movie is. I'm just kind of giving a general take on, I guess, how to interpret the genre, maybe. So this, no major actors that I recognized from, like, movies or television necessarily, but I thought the performances were pretty decent.
It wasn't
terribly problematic. I mean, it looked pretty good. I think Darabont shot it with 16mm to kind of give it, you know, a slightly more refined quality, or I don't know what it's doing there, though. We had some issue with some of the sound effects, some of the Foley in some places.
Yeah, there were some areas where it just seemed... That was the only thing that everything else was really well done. Some of the sound effects just felt kind of like the default generic sounds that any student filmmaker could get and slap on an episode just to get it going. But I mean, once you get into the story, it's forgivable.
Yeah, and it's I mean, we really nitpicked the hell out of this movie while we were while we were watching it. We should have just shut up and sort of tried to enjoy getting into it a little more than we should.
The makeup was amazing.
The makeup effects you thought were good? But you can't... What do you mean, though? You were immediately like, that's a fake beard. That beard is fake.
Well, that, I don't consider a fake beard to be makeup. I'm talking about the zombie makeup.
Okay.
Yeah, the fake beard sucked.
I wonder how much of the zombie stuff was digital, because obviously...
Yeah, that woman with her lips missing, her teeth exposed.
Or the little girl with the braces in it.
Yeah.
I just, like, saw a chunk of her lip was...
That was impressive. That was fun.
I wonder how much of that is just paint part of it green and then do it digitally, though.
Yeah, probably.
It looked like a mix of both. It looked like some parts are probably done, you know, practically, and then, like, the serious damage was...
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And all the blood was digital.
The blood was pretty fake.
Yeah,
and
every gunshot looked kind of fake.
Yeah, the gunshot and the gunshots. Even I mean, at that first scene when they're standing off with the with the guys that are in the high speed chase, which is kind of just this inexplicable thing that happens to.
My theory is that they were running with
from
the virus.
Zombies. Yeah,
no, they well maybe that would explain why they just got out the car shooting.
Yeah,
they saw zombies. We're getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah, well, it's the thing with like the thing. Remember how the thing starts where the Norwegian station guys are chasing after the dog trying to shoot at it, and then it becomes like a conflict with the other guys.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, clearly they're pulling from a lot of other materials. They're pulling from basically a lot of zombie movie things. And in this first episode, judging it based on that, it's I would say it's fairly derivative. You have the...
Rule number one, never say zombie.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's that too. Yeah, they don't want to just call them zombies, so they got to have some more clever term for
the walkers.
It. Yeah, they're called walkers or whatever. But you have to have... Generally, your protagonist is... Some kind of, you know, they do the hospital thing, which is straight out of 28 Days Later, and then they do the meet the father with the child thing, which is straight out of 28 Days Later. They've got the main character being a sheriff, which gives him authority figure stuff and like knowledge of firearms and all of that, I guess.
But more practically, it gives him firearms.
Yeah, it gives
him
firearms.
You know, yeah, and a source for it. Cachet at his house that he was able to just get whatever he needed, which. Which, again, I appreciate, because it's always nice to have a reason why you have access to guns.
Yeah.
You know,
the sheriff thing is like a crazies thing, or like a 30 Days of Night, which, have you guys seen that, 30 Days of Night?
No, I didn't see it.
No.
Yeah, it's a vampire movie.
Josh Hartnett,
yeah, that's essentially a zombie movie.
Right.
Because the vampires are played as, they're not like these erudite, like, well-spoken creatures, they're like they're groaning, grunting things that are. I mean, the suspense and everything works very similar to a zombie movie in that case. Yeah. So I mean, the basic plot is you get it. I have a little bit of a problem with the structuring in certain parts of it. I'd say the first and the last quarters of it maybe are kind of oddly structured, because you have this in medias res thing at the beginning where you see the sheriff walking through like all this torn or the deputy walking through this torn up part of the town, and then he encounters a zombie, and then you cut to some time in the past when everything is normal.
Yeah,
and he's having like a Pulp Fiction style, Elmore Leonard style, like two guys just having a regular conversation, even though they're outside of the
but
sphere
it,
of that.
It plays later on because, well, maybe I should save spoilers for.
No, I mean, this show's been on the air for a while.
So, so that conversation, as Pulp Fiction-y as it was, it did play later on. They talked about that there was a problem in the relationship. I don't think you care about me. And then later on, they do that soap opera moment where his best friend steals his wife.
His deputy, yeah.
From the beginning, so that would play in later on. And
I don't know if they set much up with that, but they did at least establish like this relationship.
They established that the B cop buddy cop was just going to fuck whatever moves, and that the main protagonist guy was having problems with his wife. So, and then when you see his friend fucking his wife, you kind of can.
Well, I didn't get that about the buddy cop. It seemed like he was, his whole thing was about the specific woman and the light thing.
But just the way he was talking, though, he was pretty much written
pretty
to be that rugged guy. Yeah. Like, you know.
Okay. Maybe there's. I mean, at very least, there are, as derivative as this pilot is in terms of some things that it does, it doesn't. It doesn't quite ram it down your throat as bad as a lot of TV stuff would.
It like, doesn't. The exposition was great. And like that one scene, it starts off with like him looking for gas, and there's a zombie encounter with a little girl, and then the very next scene, you see them eating fast food, and then you can kind of figure it out. Well, if they have fast food, this is probably before a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
So then you don't have to say like 3 days earlier or 3 months earlier. They did that through the whole episode.
That whole opening piece, like, played as like a hook anyway.
Yeah.
And then they went to their credit sequence, and then they started, you're like, okay, now it's the proper start. So there's a lot of reasons why they could do that. And then they used the flowers to show the time. I mean, those flowers were as wilted as, I mean, it couldn't have been more than a month. It couldn't have been more than fucking 10 days or something, really. Mm-hmm. Which is why the whole thing with the woman, with the wife, and which I'm sure they'll get into later, and that will be the part that, you know, you'll just have to endure while you're trying to watch the more interesting parts. It's like, get over the soap opera stuff.
Looking at it from her perspective is that she's got a kid to look after. So I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that after 10 days, what it probably means is going on there is that there was something from even before the zombie apocalypse.
Maybe.
Is that there was soap opera shit going on before then.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest, I'm not interested, and it's not very big in the pilot, so there's nothing else to say about it. There's some soap opera garbage they're hinting at, and that's inevitable in TV. Even some of the best TV still just has these soap opera tropes about, like, love triangles and things.
Well, yeah,
just,
I mean, when you look at it from, like,
part of longer storytelling.
When you look at it from AMC's perspective, they want to get as many different audience members hooked on the show as possible, so they kind of threw a little bit of everything.
That's out. Partly true.
Yeah.
AMC has been very good so far. I've watched all of their original things, and I've liked all of them.
Yeah.
Like, I liked Rubicon, even though it got canceled. It was very strange. They've been kind of good about not... About kind of... And I think cable shows are doing this now more, like FX and stuff. They're coming up with shows where they know there's a niche audience, but it's a reliable audience. And so if they can do things at a certain budget... And this is probably a very high-budget, high-profile thing. So they probably do have to be a little more broad with their appeal to an audience. But... You know, zombie whatever is still kind of a niche thing.
Yeah, like you said, there wasn't really any name actors, but there's a high production value, so it kind of shows AMC's priorities. Like, we're just going to get some actors, whoever, whatever, so we can make this show look good.
And it's a brave thing to do, trying to bring like it's not a horror anthology thing, like Tales from the Crypt or like some of the, like Twilight Zone or a lot of these other most of these other television shows.
You know, the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, that have been horror. have been these like single stories and then it's something new. So this has to actually build and has to actually tell. And that's the main reason I'm even slightly interested in this is the twofold thing of, well, parts of it are going to just have to be people dealing with the fact that infrastructure's collapsed and how can that be interesting. And then the other thing is going to be, how is this zombie thing going to play out in longer than just your typical 120 minute style scenario? So I'm interested to see where it will go. I'm definitely gonna keep watching it. It ended with a decent enough cliffhanger.
It did. And they put a little twist. I mean, most zombie mythologies, for some reason, I don't even know why. Like, what, the Dawn of the Dead?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they wouldn't attack the dogs, and 28 days later, the horses were roaming around free, and they weren't infected. But this one, they're like, oh, it's fucking meat. It's a lot of meat, and they swarmed that horse.
Yeah, they killed the horse.
Yeah, and it was just like this moment of absolute despair, and that's kind of where they left it off at the end. But they gave a little glimmer of hope with the radio, and
yeah,
I'm sure he'll connect that radio to the radio at the camp with his wife eventually.
And, yeah,
you know,
yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Mm-hmm.
What does AMC stand for?
American Movie Classics.
They should change what that stands for.
Well, they changed a while ago.
Neither a movie nor a classic. Doesn't something have to be, like, exist for a while before it's considered a classic?
Amazing Macho Summer.
Much like MTV and a lot of these other networks, Cartoon Network and stuff, they've definitely modified their original mission statement.
Oh.
But AMC came up with this whole campaign, like, about probably almost 15 years ago, about the new classics. So they could show movies like Predator because, well, let's face it, as much as we'd hate to admit it, Predator is an older movie now.
I don't need to admit it. It's a classic.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not old.
But
how would you say that?
But, I mean, I don't know what to tell you about how... Then they started doing the original programming. The first show they did was Mad Men. And Mad Men is a show about set in the 60s. So in a weird way, they're trading in classic genres with a lot of the shows they're doing. And the zombie thing is like you said, from Night of the Living Dead. That's from the 60s. That's a long-running genre.
The cinematography, too, about the zooms and kind of from the 70s. So they're still trying to hit that feeling, even though it's a new show.
Yeah, and I think part of it is they're just like, you know what? We're just going to make shows. So we've decided to start doing... We had a hit with Mad Men. We had a hit with Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to, you know... We're going to open this up now to get our programming on, you know, so people will want us on a programming package. You know, people will want to pay for it.
Yeah.
And that's the whole gimmick with that, which is completely uninteresting to anyone caring about listening to us talk about the zombie aspect of this movie or the show. I would say that it's, I don't know how many episodes I'll give the show. Depends on what direction it goes in. I think the first season is only like six TV hour long episodes. So it'll depend on kind of where it starts to go and how they choose to use their time. If like a whole half an episode is just eaten up on love triangle stuff, then I'm like, that's not good use of your time, you know?
They probably are going to do that because it's hard. Where do you go? The zombies are here.
That's why I want to see. You know, it's like, it is. What's the challenge?
So let's look at other zombie mythologies. In video games, usually what you're looking for is the cause of the zombie. In movies, usually what you're looking for is a way to survive
and escape. Yeah.
So in a TV show that has to keep writing episodes, what do you do? Where do you go?
Well, the source material, I believe, is done. I think it's like something like 100 issues or something like that.
Okay, and I know nothing of the comics, so...
Yeah, and I don't really know anything either. It might still be going, but you're right. So I don't necessarily know that they're programmed in with this set sense of, you know, we're just going to keep making seasons. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of shows, despite the success and the popularity, have gotten wise to the fact that you have your peak... And then you don't want to overstay your welcome too much. Yeah. Like, the shows like Lost and stuff, it's like, eventually you got to end this, because people get indignant. Especially shows like that are carrying over, where each episode matters from the next one to the next one. It's not like a Law and Order thing where you can just jump in and see an episode and who cares. Mm-hmm. And it's procedural. It's like, you need to have seen all the other episodes in order to understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I think that I'm pretty confident that they've got an end game in mind for this, especially if they're going with the source material, and maybe it's going to be 3 seasons, and maybe it's going to be 4. But you're right, it's still going to be a longer form than any other zombie thing.
Yeah.
Maybe with the exception being like the whole George Romero thing, where he just, you know, he did Night of the Living Dead, and then Dawn of the Dead, and Day of the Dead, and I think those are all still continuing up till like the most recent one, which is like Survival of the Dead or some crazy thing like that.
Well, there was one that he did, Romero, was I want to say Day of the Dead. Was that the one with John Leguizamo?
No, Day of the Dead was the third one. They might have remade that.
The newer one. After Zack Schneider did his, Romero did another one. And I thought they remade Day of the Dead.
I don't know if they did a proper remake of
it's
that.
It's like when the zombies are getting smaller. Anyway, the premise of that was is they took over a portion of a city, and they blocked it off, and they cleansed it, and they started rebuilding society.
Yeah, that's the one with Dennis Hopper?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a George Romero that I think was a continuation of the original stories. So that was
another remake. Interesting for a TV show. We're here. We don't want to die. How do we rebuild society?
Yeah,
with these zombies that are just going to be here forever.
Yeah, and so we'll see how that goes. And up until then, I don't know what it's got to offer us in terms of excitement or in terms of. I would say the biggest problem right now with the way it's been structured and stuff is that. There are some questions about authenticity that are a little difficult. Like, the biggest one being the time factor. Like, this guy gets shot, and so he gets morphine or whatever, and it knocks him...
It's more police work, by the way.
There's
like, two people pop out of a car,
yeah,
and they're like, should we check it? No, it's probably good. Just check this guy, and then a third one pops out of the car, and it's like...
That scene was clumsy, and then just the explanation for why the guy would be as out as he was, for as long as he was, and for some sort of indefinite period where all this had a time to happen.
I got a feeling he was drugged on pain medicine.
Well, yeah,
just like, ooh.
He was definitely that, but would that have knocked him out, like put him in a coma for a month?
I don't know enough about
it. And then would all of that stuff have been able to have happened around it? I mean, maybe I'm being nitpicky here, but it's going to be a problem unless they address it in a more...
And then the other valid question is, why does he leave him in the hospital looking pretty empty?
Yeah.
But typically in these zombie movies, when you start in the hospital, you're the last person left, and for whatever reason they thought you weren't...
Yeah.
You weren't important enough.
One thing that I can tell you will turn you off the show pretty quickly is if they use the flashback cop-out. The Lost thing. Not that it was a cop-out in Lost. It was a narrative tool.
Didn't they do the flash-forwards instead of the flashbacks?
But they did that at some point. Okay. But I mean, like, if this show just turns into follow a character and then half the episode is just them remembering their life in the real world, you know, before this happened. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like, oh, that shows their character, you know, that shows how they are as people or whatever.
Probably what you think of The Walking Dead.
That was fun. I like it.
That's
for those who don't know Brian is a HSU biology graduate. Yeah.
So he can verify.
He's teaching. So from a scientific perspective, Brian.
Yeah.
How did this bode with
verifying science?
Do you feel that this was bullshit? in regards to the sense
that... Well, it usually is, but hey.
Yeah.
Well, let's explore possibilities of zombieism now. I think I've mentioned this to you, the rabies
all the time.
Virus.
You mentioned this to me every time we mentioned zombies.
I think, like, every day I see you, it's like, if rabies evolved, and
what
are you,
happened,
and
Brian?
How
what
are you doing? The two things I say.
You're in my corner, right? We're friends, right?
Yeah. But here's something about the zombies in this one seemed a lot more passive than I've seen in the past. There wasn't that
rage. It's definitely not the current trend of the fast zombie. It's the classic slow.
The fast zombies never made sense to me.
Yeah.
And I was saying that earlier. Just because the idea behind zombies is they're, you know, basically risen dead.
They're decaying,
And the idea would be they're decaying, in which case just the way organisms work... You're not going to work as well, and so you're not going to be all fast and aggressive and everything.
No,
and
you're
going to
be slow and
as far as zombies go, and
So yeah, I feel like that's just going to be the whole take on the show, is if it's going to be a lot of back and forth in time.
Well, that would be an interesting twist at some point in the show. If at some point they did just start running.
Yeah.
Well,
if they ran out of story, they could do that.
Yeah.
Because with the slower pace, it gives them room to kind of...
Take their time.
Have other story going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you have the slower zombies, what they typically do, and they did that in this episode, is you just have to have a massive amount of zombies for
sure.
Threat. So to make it interesting, you just have to have thousands of them. I mean, when you have the fast zombies, you just have like five coming at you the street, and it's still threatening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I think that will lead... That leads us pretty much to sort of the... I guess the final point, because it's just the pilot of the show, so there's no like big conclusion. But the thing that they sort of did that was different here is they took their little quiet ambient musical moment and they kind of did this sort of play on humanity, and something that they don't usually have time for in most zombie things because it's such a rush, go. And you know, some of these characters had to deal with the fact that they knew some of these people that were now in this state, or just the fact that if this were a real situation, these would be actual people that are, for the most part, innocent. That you have to kind of brutally destroy, and you kind of have to detach yourself from that. And they played that with the father and the wife,
the moral conflict of having to kill a loved one.
All of that stuff. And they also played it with the sheriff and just the mercy of, like, you know, killing a suffering animal kind of thing.
Yeah, he felt the need to apologize.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, usually when people are killing zombies, it's like, things aren't human, we're gonna kill him. And he's all like, you don't deserve this, let me put you out of your misery.
Exactly. There was an odd sort of reverence for humanity that was still sort of lingering there.
And I like that. I like that.
No, I think it definitely makes it more interesting. There's a lot more questions now as to how they're gonna play this out. And how they're going to make it interesting and something that's, like, worth investing the time of a television show into.
Right.
Because, like I said, it's been kind of derivative right now, and that's the opening. And that's, that's kind of how openings go. That's the origin story, whatever else. You can kind of give it a pass at that point, but now where is it going to go? It's set in rural middle America outside of Atlanta, Georgia. And then he ends up in that is Atlanta proper, I guess. I don't know enough about the city or landmarks to identify if those skyscrapers are what Atlanta is.
Skyscrapers, you know.
That's a big city, right?
Yeah.
How many skyscraper cities do they have in Atlanta? Probably be surprised.
Well, maybe.
Anyway, so I don't know, to wrap up this this take on another TV edition of the Futile Podcast. I think I would give, as a pilot episode for a television show based on a zombie thing, it's hard not to judge it based on zombie movies, which, you know, I guess you should kind of artificially give it, like, a slightly better grading if you have to grade it, because you're judging it based on a movie, but really it's just a TV show, so that means they don't have as much money, and I've read an interview with Darabont talking about, like, the limitations. There still existed, you know, in a TV show. It's not just, like, because he put his name behind it and everything, you know. He didn't have to deal with it. I'd probably give it usually the way we rate things, you guys know, some of you guys have done this before. I usually do it out of 5 stars because it's a super cop-out. to do 5 stars because you can still have that like coveted 5 out of 5 that you give almost nothing, and you can still have stuff you really like, but you can give a 4 out of 5 just to cover your ass and say it's not perfect, but it's really damn good. And then, you know, you have those other little slots. So it's kind of a meaningless way to give a grading in a system where you kind of don't want to do that. But a lot of times people like that. They like just a cut and dry. Listeners possibly do, or some do. I don't know.
I only rate movies out of 1,000 points.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone always has to be clever about their own system.
As Ian gracefully pulls the rug from under me, I want to say that it's not perfect, but it's pretty damn good. And I will give it a 4 out of 5 based on the fact that I'm going to dock them on the fact that I felt like they could have spent more time on the sound editing and the Foley. And there were a lot of parts when we were just kind of chatting that were predictable. Yeah. You hit a lot of things, I hit a lot of things. It was predictable. But it's a zombie movie.
It was derivative and it was predictable, yeah.
Yeah, so they got to do something to surprise me in episode 2.
I mean, the horse the horse thing was cool. The humanity thing was cool.
It was cool. It was good. It's not bad. It's great. I recommend it.
Josh was a 4 out of 5.
I'm going to 4 out of 5 it.
Brian?
You
can do half stars, too. Let me just tell you. So that
I can do half stars?
You can do
half. Okay,
it's like,
three
it's
and
like,
a half, then.
3.5?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't like that stupid thing with the deputy buddy and the wife at the end.
Yeah, that was,
bugged me.
That was kind of annoying. I didn't see you there. Matthew?
I felt bugged as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, despite its flaws and being on a channel called the American Movie Classics Channel.
Why is that?
Which is only 1/3 correct.
Yeah. Are you going to dock it based on the channel?
It's actually, it's American, I guess. It's not a movie or a classic, right?
But I would give it 4 1/8 stars out of 5.
Oh, wow, wow.
4.891 out of 5 stars.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Big time.
I'm gonna go with Brian on this one at a 3.5 out of 5. That
you guys are really irked by the fact that they had a love interest in episode 1, huh? Or like a love conflict, a love triangle, huh?
I just don't.
Yes.
I like I said, not enough time passed for that to have occurred, so it must have happened before. And then it just to me.
Didn't you know he's a regenerating man? He was in there for years.
Well, the thing is, to me, what will be more interesting is if they just deal with it very quickly. And if it's just like, you were fucking my wife back in the day. Yeah, okay, now we have bigger things to deal with and we just have to get along or we have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that would be the way that you'd have to do it.
What would be tremendously interesting to me is if they, like, killed her, like, episode 2 and then it's just, like, the kid and then he's, like, trying to get to the son. And because at that point, I expect them to reunite at the end and happily ever after at the end of the season, and then they go off to season 2. That's what I'm anticipating.
They'll probably reunite pretty soon. Who knows?
Yeah, they couldn't kill her before they meet up because that would take away that whole tension. Because
why not?
Well, because it looked to me like they were trying to hide the fact that they were together from the kid.
Well, I just assume that they assume that daddy's dead. He didn't make it out of the hospital. That's what they're probably assuming.
Yeah, that's
so
a big part of it.
Hide.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they don't want to jump that put that on the kid just yet, you know?
Right, well, from the kid, yeah, but...
The biggest problem, I mean, I'm not a huge, huge, huge zombie fan. Like I said, the thing that, to me, is the whole Last Man on Earth thing. How do you deal with, like, the... And they didn't do much of that. There was a little of that. There's just a lot of questions left open, and it's just, like you said, it's just, like, so by-the-numbers derivative with, like, guy wakes up in hospital, guy finds one dude with a son and they give him the lowdown. There was nothing particularly new in this except for that one scene with, you know, the sort of sense of humanity that was like, oh, okay. And that was kind of nice and lyrical and they did the music right and it was well constructed, but it wasn't really even all that cinematic coming from like a guy that's directed movies and stuff. It felt pretty utilitarian in terms of the shooting, and I mean the use of the zooms was, I never have liked them. I felt that they didn't fit in this genre in this style of filmmaking.
I felt they did.
The zooms
usually bother me a lot, but in this I didn't notice them until you started barking.
Barking.
Zoom lens.
Yeah.
What's that doing in this movie?
There are damn zoom lens.
What is that doing in this American classic movie?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, the biggest problem, and you know this, Matt, the biggest problem with zoom lenses is that they're yet another thing that draws someone's attention to the fact that someone's got a camera there doing right. something. Mm-hmm. I mean, a dolly is a more natural movement because it's kind of how your vision works. When you walk things, you know, if you move your head or something, mm-hmm. it looks like a dolly. Like but you can't optically do that with your eye. You can't zoom in. Right. And so it looks different.
Don't look at me.
Hmm? Yeah, exactly. Josh's superpower is zoom eyes.
$6 million man with my eyes.
He's got zoom eyes.
Too far. Oh, elbow space.
One thing we totally forgot: we were going to have our big debate about guns.
Mm, okay,
I'm shotgun.
Here we go. No. See, now it depends on
Only I know exactly the right.
I am joined.
We're all completely convinced that we're 100%.
I don't know how close you are. So
there is lasers. Oh, how could you slap me like that?
Okay.
Why did it take me so long to react?
Stop crying. So we're in the police station. There are handguns. Yeah. There are shotguns.
Yes.
And there are sniper rifles.
Mm-hmm.
And there are little batons. So if you want to do that, you got that too.
Yeah.
So what are you grabbing?
Baton.
A baton mounted to another baton.
Yes.
Pole vault. Move.
Is that going to cock the baton?
Okay, what are the choices?
You got a handgun. Handguns?
Yes.
Shotgun. Sniper rifle.
The sniper rifle.
I'd go for the sniper rifle.
Nice.
Okay.
But, okay, here's the thing. If it's the four of us in that station, and you two are grabbing handguns, and he's grabbing the shotgun, I'm going to grab the sniper
rifle. Look, obviously... I think we have to create some rules for this, because I think Brian and I are on the same page here, so we can actually have like a proper two-person debate, and that's going to be awesome.
Well, then go for it. I'll step out.
No. But I'm saying, obviously, if you've got a group of people, then you would want the variety of firearms. That makes perfect sense. You would want a sniper rifle in that case. You'd want handguns just for the sake of having handguns. You'd probably want handguns to kill actual people, like rapists and psychopaths, because that's the thing that they'll get into later on in the show. What is man's greatest enemy? Not dead man, but alive.
I won't. That's always the thing. The dude who called him the thing is probably some psychotic rapist. But
no, that's the hacker. That's the hacker kid. That's the obligatory character that's got to be the smart ass hacker kid.
It's a really smart zombie, and he set a trap. No, my take on it is that if I
you present your argument for shotgun
here's my argument:
sniper rifle.
Under no circumstance do I want to allow zombies to get close enough where a shotgun is effective.
Okay.
So by that logic, I want to be able to move around, maybe even do something clever. If I have like some gas and no car, set things out away. I see them coming. Boom! I get out of there. If they're close enough for me to use a shotgun. They're pretty damn close, and I probably don't want them to be that close. I'm probably dead anyway, so it's gonna be cool until I go boom, boom, reload. Oh god! So you know, there's more bullets in the chamber with the sniper rifle, and again, you get that range, you get that accuracy. So that's my.
What if you've got the automatic shotgun from the Expendables though? No, I'm just kidding.
What if I have a railgun attached to my waist?
Okay, so here's my take on why you choose shotgun.
Okay,
because my situation would be that I would never be in a situation to be camping or to voluntarily be shooting anything that's if it's far enough away that I'm sniping it, then I'm just not going to deal with it. I'm going to run away from it or I'm going to evade it. So the idea isn't that I'm using the shotgun to purposefully get close enough to kill things. It's that things have managed to get that close. The weapon is pure deterrence. It's pure, I'm using it not because I want to, but because I have to. So yours has like a certain voluntary like sportsman quality too, where it's like, you know, I'll set up a situation, everything will be under my control because I'm at this distance, and then boom, boom, boom. But what you forget is that maybe behind you, and you know, a sniper rifle is precise. But, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, for close quarters combat, you know, just like with Hicks in Aliens,
you need
the shotgun to take care of the things you're not planning. And every other circumstance, I would evade. I would not interact with those things at all if I didn't
either.
Have to.
What you're forgetting is that eventually you have to stop. You can't keep walking. You're going to have to stop with the sniper rifle. If I get caught off guard, I'm going to wish I had that shotgun.
Yeah, you are.
I am.
But if I'm on my shit and I'm keeping my ears and eyes open, then I'm hoping that that's not going to be the case.
Yeah, but if you're on your shit keeping your ears and eyes open, then you're not going to use a weapon anyway because you're paying attention. So it's only for those emergencies when things just happen that you'll need the shot that you want the shotgun.
Let's say like there's a mall, right, and I want supplies, or let's like there's a Safeway, and I just for whatever reason I think there's something in there, and like the parking lot is littered with zombies.
Yeah,
kind of like what they did in the show with the car alarm.
Yeah.
I'd probably just take a couple of bullets, look for a car that might have a blinking light, boop, 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 shoot the car, boop, 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 boop. They go for that, I'm going into Safeway, getting my supplies, getting out.
You don't need a sniper rifle to do that.
Yeah, you could throw a brick at the car.
I don't
want
to... Well, I'm talking littered with zombies in this parking lot.
You don't need a sniper rifle to do that.
You don't need... I can take a rock, yeah, but I'm saying if I can't... To make sure... Huh?
You want a launcher for rocks.
I want a rocket rock launcher?
Yes. Like a potato gun?
I can pull up.
Yeah.
You guys.
So, I don't know. Like, let's say, like, Ian, you're going for water, right? And we set up base. We're going to stay for the night. You're going out, you know, two clicks for water. I hear, Josh, no! I'm running as fast as I can. If I have to run to you with this shotgun, you're dead. But I'm going to run as fast as I can. Boom. I saved you. I'm going to save survivors with my sniper rifle. That's what I'm going to do.
The one thing I don't like about the whole sniper rifle thing, or really the handgun thing versus a shotgun, is that it seems to me that you could probably get away with a little more sloppiness with a shotgun.
That's the whole point. That's what you have for home invasions in real life.
Yeah. You don't have to be familiar with shooting ranges and stuff. You don't have to be a crack shot to be able to get much done. Like it
depends on the distance.
Well, of course, it depends on the
like
distance.
If I had to kill something in this room, I'm gonna want the shotgun over a sniper rifle, obviously.
Yeah. All right. But what are you gonna be able to do with a sniper rifle? Have you ever used a sniper rifle?
Yeah.
Oh well, good.
Okay.
He's got you there.
I am.
I'm accurate.
Okay. Now remember that to properly dispatch a zombie, you have to fuck its brain up.
Yeah.
You've got to shoot through the skull.
Yeah.
How close do you have to be with a shotgun to do that? You can, I mean, obviously, home invasions against humans, you pepper somebody with shot, and
it's a very
going
valid
down.
Point. Like, if someone's running outside, right, and you shoot it,
yeah.
like a buckshot to the head's probably not going to put it down. One of those sniper rifle bullets?
Exactly. Right. Yes, I'm on the side of the sniper rifle.
So, that's
also
another thing.
You got to keep in mind the range of the sniper rifle. You can go pretty long range, but they also work well in short range, too.
Well, here's
that big of a bullet, you hit anywhere on a head.
It's true.
That at the effective range of a shotgun, and that head is just going to come off.
So when you fire a shotgun, it is effective out of the chamber, and then the bucks spread.
Yeah.
Spread, and then eventually farther it is, the weaker your shot's going to be.
Shots, yeah.
Yeah, but like I said, it's about deterrence. It's about your whole strategy of approach, and you're right. On some level, you know, you're right. This is sort of a yes and no kind of no real right answer, but really, you've even admitted it. If something gets the jump on you, you're going to want the shotgun. And that's the only reason you're going to want a weapon like that.
I'm not saying that I'm just going to be walking through the street. Shotgun, what the fuck is this? Kick it out of the way.
No,
I'm going to go for it. But if I...
If you
know,
have
I'm
one
saying,
choice, that's the whole
thing. I'd go with the sniper rifle, So...
I've been kind of starting to lean towards handguns, frankly, also.
This ain't a video game, Brian.
No, I...
He's working on a good point, though, because handgun kind of does have... It does split the difference. You can train a handgun, and you can aim a handgun.
And I'm not real familiar with firearms, but it seems to me like handguns can have pretty big clips compared to both of those others. They can have pretty fast reload times compared to both of those others. And you can get the good headshots within a reasonable range.
You get a good distance.
Yeah.
Easy to carry.
Easy to carry, too.
Sure.
Yeah,
see a lot of plus in those.
That's a good point. There's different arguments.
Well, ideally, you want a primary firearm and then your sidearm.
Sure,
true.
So,
yeah,
shotgun.
A melee weapon wouldn't hurt.
That's what I've got going.
Yeah, that's what I'm with you there. Shotgun handgun.
Going with a machete.
Machete.
Yeah.
Chainsaw.
I mean, my whole approach would just be to just avoid in every possible situation, and then when something gets a jump on me, I'm going to want a shotgun. Because of this, you know, even if they're close or whatever, you know, you gotta get it.
Yeah,
you have a shotgun, you're like this, and they're there.
It's a really long
then
barrel.
They did it. And maybe it didn't kill them, but it knocked them the fuck back, and it gives you a chance to do what you need.
Well, ideally in CQC, if it's like right on me, you want a handgun with a knife.
with all the sound effects and everything. The good sound effects, the good Foley, right?
This knife isn't gonna do shit. You'd have to like start with
about myself. Okay. These are for the psychotic rapists who are running around there.
Yeah, like it's still alive. Yeah.
Okay,
like, that's always a factor because the cannibals from the road. Going to be in this situation, it's only going to be probably a matter of months before people start losing their humanity.
Well, the cannibalism stuff. Yeah, that was the thing I had a problem with. In 28 Days Later, did that bother you that like that those military guys, and it was like literally 28 days later that they became like psychotic, like.
It's probably how long it takes.
Like, I mean, rapists that fast? It seemed out of character for the way they were established at the beginning, for that to have gone as weird, as dark as it did, as quickly
well,
as
yeah,
it did.
Very big hardian, but I
was obsessed.
People who do it now, but there are a lot of people who would just kind of lose it if that happened.
I think so, but I don't know if people that were, I mean, and I'm sure this is somewhat idealistic, but I think within a range it makes sense. Like the military people, I mean, they've kind of been trained a certain way to handle certain kinds of rougher situations. So I think that they would have a little longer lasting mentality before they went straight into like crazy fascist rapist long. Mode. I'm not saying it wouldn't happen. I'm just saying it wasn't long enough to seem believable to me. It was. It seemed like it was almost like trying to throw this ham-fisted criticism of like, you know, military fascism into the movie really quickly, and it was like, man, I don't. So I'm sorry.
Well, I don't want to get into that conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah, like this is not Platoon, okay, guys.
I'm not saying that's what they should have done. I'm just saying I think that's what happened.
No. It's all about, like, and the thing is, it's like that whole alive thing, you know, where it's like no one really knows how someone's going to act in a terrible situation like that until you're actually in a situation like that, you know? Cowards become heroes, and heroes become cowards. And
shows you true colors.
And that's what's going to be interesting about the show, is to see...
When you're no longer accountable to the law, there's no one to reprimand you for your actions. You truly become who you are. What are you going to do?
Exactly, and that's the thing I think they kind of downplayed a little in the series in Walking Dead was the fact that the deputy, like, he cleaned himself up and he put his uniform back on, like, to show that he's got some sort of sense of, like, whether the world's going to hold him accountable, he's going to hold himself accountable to the, you know, the oath of being a police officer or whatever else. Is there, and they haven't done much with it yet. It's not like he's gone, he's risked his own life to save innocent people or anything yet. But he shaved, he put the uniform on, and he's gonna go.
I think it's obvious he's gonna do that at some point.
Oh, yeah. To a degree. Yeah. So it's interesting character stuff. And like I said, that's, to me, the more compelling component of a story like this. And it's like the same with like something like Battlestar Galactica or something. It's like you take people and you put them in really dire situations through whatever artificial means you want to put it in. But I mean, these are all hypotheticals. They're all like philosophical arguments. It's like, imagine if there were only 10 people on an island, or imagine if, you know, most of the world were destroyed and you were on a spaceship, or imagine if, you know, then how would this work out? How would, you know, how would the economy play out? How would people treat each other?
I think the best commentary on that was The Road, and if you want a podcast of that, I'm more than happy to.
That's almost like a natural following from this. You read the book, right?
I got halfway, and then I kind of don't remember where I put it.
have you guys seen The Road, Matt or Brian?
I wanted to until I heard there was an annoying kid in it.
I saw the movie.
The kid's not that annoying.
Yeah.
I don't have a big tolerance for annoying kids either. I mean,
okay. Okay. Fine. Cool.
When I worked at the minor, every screening had someone walking out because they couldn't date it.
Really?
Every screening.
That's weird.
They couldn't take the kid, or
they couldn't take the movie.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
What is it?
What is
it about the movie that people want?
I don't get it.
It's a short apocalyptic scenario. Like they insinuate that possibly a bomb went off or something.
And the sun's blocked out.
Or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And they've been there for like a few years, and they're just surviving. There are very few supplies, there are very few survivors. The survivors who are there pretty much can't trust, because you just don't know what people are going to do. And they're just trying to... I think they're trying to move to a warmer climate, because where they are, it's pretty freezing. So they're just kind of moving
through. They keep it real thin, but they make it's so contrived that's my biggest critique of it, is that the apocalyptic event is so contrived to essentially, like, we talk about this idea about like creating a situation to deal with these concepts of humanity, but this one is just like eye roll contrived in my opinion, because it's like something, there's a flash of light. Okay, if it was a nuclear winter, it wouldn't have done everything that this did. This is literally like some kind of biblically insane type thing where there is no animals alive, no vegetation. The trees are just like petrified and cracking and shattering. It's cold, but there's no snow because there's no water. There's just no, there's no nothing. The color palette is bleak. The mentality of the characters are bleak. And everybody has turned into a cannibal rapist. Yeah. Everybody in the group has. Like that's true. Pretty much everybody has, except at the end, which
I'm not even going to ruin the ending. But you got the Robert Duvall character.
Yeah, that's right. You have that one character.
Yeah, well,
and it's an old man, and that like, well, he, and then you do have the thing towards the end with the guy stealing like a little the stuff.
Boy running around. Yeah. I mean, it just is what it is. You know.
I think my biggest problem with it is that it's just
okay. Well, does it make you feel depressed after you've seen the whole thing?
It's not a feel good movie. Ever.
But after you've seen the whole thing.
Note at least,
it feels pretty tacked on.
Or does it end with like the man like finally caving into the cannibal rapism and like raping little boy? Roll credits.
No.
Yeah, okay. There's like a little sprig growing out of a terracotta pot and a little green leaf.
A tear comes out of the boy's
eye and it goes into a cup and they drink it and then they feel healthier.
And then that tear is what causes plant life to come back to
us.
Yeah. No, that's totally.
And then all the fat people get thin while they learn to do Agurian work.
There's a small shimmer of hope at the end, but I swear that's the only hope in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And to be it's more complex than that. There is an interesting part about halfway in where the characters arrive at a place where they can kind of take a deep breath and they can kind of, you know, get a bath and they can, things can change.
There are moments.
And it was worth doing that.
And Viggo Mortensen, you really went into that character. I mean, like, I think he...
Yeah, well, I mean, he's done stuff. He's done characters like that before, though.
He was like,
I mean,
what, he was like 98 pounds for that? What are we talking about?
We're just talking about elements of the road, I guess. You don't want to talk about...
Yeah, you said he does a good job of it. I just didn't know who or what we were talking about.
Yeah, no, we're talking about...
Who does a good job of what?
Mortensen does a good job of doing the kinds of characters that he does. Which usually are sort of the bleak, surviving characters that are kind of rough around the edges. Even from, like, back to G.I. Jane, he was kind of that...
G.I. Jane!
That rough
That was
guy.
The first time I think I saw Demi Moore naked. She was in that shower scene, bald, right? That's the only scene I remember.
Yeah.
Then
she was in Striptease,
that's
I think,
great.
So yeah.
Which is on Netflix instantly now. That'll be the next movie I watch for your podcast.
Oh,
I'll
nice.
Do homework for you.
Nice. I don't know. I mean, I really like the, you know, Last Man on Earth type thing, and that's
didn't like I Am Legend. Hmm? That Last Man on Earth zombie film worked great. It actually worked great for me until they got to like,
exactly.
Yeah, until they got.
A lot of people say that it's like it's more interesting just to see how Will Smith's character approaches the solitude. And having the like people in the video store, the mannequins that he set up and that he talks to, and that he's got like watching the Today Show TiVo'd or whatever.
I wasn't even like pissed that they had like a family of lions in like Times Square. I was like, whatever, fuck it.
Well, stuff gets out,
You know, whatever, fuck it. And but when they got to the creatures, it was creepy at first. And then it was just like, and then he wasn't the last man on Earth, and it was just like, and then I was like, whatever.
I felt that way about Wall-E. The first half of it, where it's just him, and then the love interest comes in.
That was another post-apocalyptic.
That's awesome
situation.
Because they are not even speaking at all; they're just communicating in their own ways.
Well,
and then two humans came in.
And then it went from like post-apoc to like Space Odyssey.
Yeah, but yeah. Pixar had to do that. I mean, they couldn't just stay bleak the whole
time. Well, they had to put what's his name in the movie? I think he has like a life contract with him.
Jeff Garlin or something?
No,
like that?
The dude from Cheers. He's in every single one of them. He's like in every single one of them. He must like own Pixar's soul or something because he's got his way. He's got his fingerprints all over that thing.
I was having a scary dream and waking up in cold sweats.
You ever woke up in screams?
What happened?
I haven't done that.
Night terrors that happen to you?
Actually, I've done it like soft ones. Just like, you know, I'm never actually vocalizing. It's always like a whisper, you know?
The one I remember, I was like, I remember it too. I was like 9 or 10. Just like my niece was like killed by a Nazi. It was a black and white dream too. And she was killed by like a Nazi. It was like in a car. Like it was an old school car. And I woke up screaming.
So I sat the second game and I just hung out with Alana, which was totally awesome. I was like, oh, you need to hang out. I was like, yes.
It's tough.
That's going to be the opening.
Yeah, that's-